There's ghost towns all over this country, left to rot because of hard times. Money dried up, disasters hit, folks moved on, but Portlock, Alaska, that one's different. Portlock weren't abandoned because of no bank failing or the earth shaking loose beneath it. Weren't because folks just got bored and packed up. No, they ran. Left behind their homes, their living, their whole damn town. Because something out there in them mist-soaked woods sent them running. For years, folks whispered about Nantinak, a massive, shadowed thing lurking just beyond sight. A beast, they say. Too big to be a man, too smart to be an animal. But what if it weren't just Nantinak stalking Portlock? What if the land itself was rotten, cursed from the start? A place where the air carries voices that ain't there, where lights dance in the trees, leading folks somewhere they ain't meant to go, where the dead don't rest easy, their bodies found mangled, twisted, like something out there was playing with them before it was done. The people of Portlock didn't just leave, they fled, and they never looked back. What really happened out there? Step careful now. We're heading straight into the dark. Welcome to Kentucky Melodies, America's Scariest Stories, where we bring you ghostly legends, spooky haints, and bone-chilling tales from all over this great land. These stories will have you looking over your shoulder all night. So pull up a chair, dim them lights, and let's dive into the eerie and unexplained. Well, now let me spin y'all a yarn about the Aleutik folks and their reckoning with a fearsome critter they called Nantinak. Long before them, Westerners set foot in these parts around the early 1900s. The Aleutik people had been roaming these lands for over 7,500 years. They made their homes in the coastal stretches of south-central Alaska, including the Kodiak Archipelago and the Kenai Peninsula. Now, despite the land's bounty and beauty, there was a particular spot they steered clear of, a place that would later be known as Portlock. To the Aleutik, that patch of earth was forbidden. They spoke in hushed tones about Nantinak, a towering, hairy creature that walked upright like a man but was far from human. This wasn't no campfire tale meant to spook the young'uns. Nantinak was seen as a predator, lurking in the dense forest, ready to pounce on those who wandered too deep. Hunters who dared venture into its domain often never returned. The few who did come back were forever changed, their eyes haunted by what they'd seen. They'd whisper about feeling eyes watching them from the shadows, hearing footsteps that weren't their own, and catching glimpses of glowing red eyes piercing through the dark canopy. Such accounts weren't taken lightly. They served as warnings to others. For the Aleutik, the area that had become Portlock was no place to settle. It was a realm best left untouched, shrouded in mystery and danger. But when the Western settlers arrived, eager to tap into the land's riches, they dismissed these ancient warnings. And as the stories go, they paid a steep price for their disregard. This here's the story about a place far from these Appalachian hills, a remote corner of Alaska known as Portlock. Back in the early 1900s, this here settlement sprang up, taking its name from a British sea captain, Nathaniel Portlock, who'd sailed those icy waters in the late 18th century. The town flourished on the back of a salmon cannery, attracting loggers, fishermen, and their kinfolk, all looking to carve out a life in the rugged wilderness. They built themselves a post office, a schoolhouse, and the cannery's smokestacks puffed steady as a train on a mountain grade. But from the get-go, there was an unease settling over Portlock, like a low fog creeping through the hollers. Fishermen, while mending their nets along the shore, would pause, cock their heads, and swear they heard voices carried on the wind. whispers and tongues unfamiliar, as if the very land was murmuring secrets. Hunters, seasoned as any Appalachian woodsman, ventured into the dense forests, their rifles at the ready, only to vanish without a trace, swallowed whole by the timbered maw. Those few who did return spoke of feeling watched, of twigs crackling just beyond the lantern's glow, but could never catch sight of what shadowed them. Then there were the footprints. Great, human-like tracks pressed deep into the mud, far larger than any man's boot and heavier than a grizzly's paw. These signs set the townsfolk on edge, but they chalked it up to the wilds being wild and carried on, though with eyes a mite wider and ears pricked sharp. As the years ambled on, these unsettling events grew more frequent, like a storm brewing on the horizon. Disappearances became common talk over supper tables, and the rare bodies found bore marks that no one could rightly explain. Mangled and torn, as if some beast had taken to hunting man. The forest, once a source of livelihood, had turned into a place of dread, where even the bravest hesitated to tread. The air in Portlock grew thick with fear, palpable as the morning mist. Families began to pack up, leaving their homes and the cannery's constant hum behind, seeking safer grounds. By the end of the 1940s, the town stood silent, abandoned to the elements and whatever lurked in the shadows, a ghost town birthed not by economic bust or natural disaster, but by an overwhelming, unspoken terror that drove folks away, leaving only whispers on the wind to tell their tale. By the time the 1920s rolled in, Portlock weren't just a town no one wanted to move to. It was a place folks was starting to run from. The forest that once promised good hunting had turned into a thing of nightmares, and the waters that once fed the town began giving back things that didn't belong there. At first, it was a hunter here, a trapper there, men who knew them woods like the backs of their own hands, going off to check their lines or bring back fresh meat, only to never return. The first bodies showed up in the shallows of the lagoon, all twisted up and broken, their flesh torn clean off the bone in places. Some had been gutted like a deer, their innards spilt out into the tide. Others looked whole on the outside, not a mark on them, yet their faces was frozen in some kind of silent, unholy scream, like they'd seen something so awful that their spirits just up and left, for their bodies even knew they was dead. And it didn't stop. Year after year, more men went missing. Then, one autumn, a group of loggers disappeared like a puff of breath on a cold morning. It was near a week before anyone found them, and when they did, they wished they hadn't. Their bodies were scattered along the riverbanks, not piled up like victims of a flood, but spread out, deliberate-like as if they'd been hunted down, one by one, and left where they fell for some unseen thing to admire its work. Word spread quick, but fear kept folks from talking too much. Ain't no one wanted to admit that something unnatural had its grip on Portlock, but fear can turn to foolishness just as quick, and one feller, a hunter by trade, had more bravado than sense. He laughed in the face of the stories, said all them disappearances was just bad luck or bears. He took off into the woods one evening, rifle slung across his back, claiming he'd prove once and for all that the only monsters out there was in folks' heads. Days later, he was found hanging from a tree deep in the timber, his head twisted all the way around, like something had grabbed him and wrung his neck like a chicken. After that, even the bravest of them started locking their doors before the sun dipped too low. They kept their shotguns propped by the front door and their windows shuttered tight, listening to the night like it might whisper their names next. Then came the stories about her, the woman in black. Some claimed she was a ghost. Some said she was a warning. She'd appear near the cliffs when the fog rolled in, standing still as a gravestone, her long dress whipping in the wind, though no wind was blowing. Those who saw her said she never moved, never looked their way. But the moment you took your eyes off her, she was gone. It wasn't just Nantinak stalking them woods. Portlock was cursed. If Nantinak was the only horror lurking in them woods, folks might have found a way to fight back. But Portlock, well, Portlock had more than just one devil in its shadows. The nights in that town was never quiet. The wind carried sounds it shouldn't. Footsteps in the dirt, slow and deliberate, pacing round cabins like a wolf circling a wounded deer. But when a man got up the nerve to fling open his door, shotgun in hand, there weren't nothing there. The air would be dead still, but the moment he shut the door, them steps would start right up again. Some nights, folks swore they saw lights floating through the trees, a sickly blue-green glow, dancing just out of reach. They looked like lanterns carried by unseen hands, beckoning the foolhardy into the timber. But the second anyone got close, them lights was gone, like a match snuffed out in the wind. And then there was the voices, low whispers slithering out from the bones of abandoned cabins, voices speaking words that ain't from no tongue folks recognized. Some sounded soft, almost inviting, like they was coaxing you closer. Others was sharp, urgent, like a warning, though what they was warning about, no one could say. But the worst was him, the Shadow Man. Fishermen out on the bay seen him standing on the shore, tall and still, staring out at the water like he was waiting for something. No matter the time of day, his shape was pitch black, like he was cut out of the world itself. Some tried to row closer, but the moment their boat neared the land, he was gone. Not like a man slipping into the woods, just gone. By the 1940s, Portlock weren't just scared. It was on the edge of madness. One last time, a group of men decided they'd had enough. They grabbed their rifles, strapped on their knives, and swore they'd track down whatever was killing their people. Maybe it was a beast. Maybe it was something worse, but they never got the chance to tell. Days later, the river gave them back what was left of them. Their bodies was ripped apart, torn to shreds like something had taken its time playing with its food. Bones was found scattered up and down the shore, stripped clean, like they'd been picked over by scavengers. That was it. Whatever lived in them woods wasn't just hunting anymore. It wasn't just lurking. It had claimed Portlock. By 1949, there weren't a soul left in town. Families packed up what they could, left homes standing with tables still set, beds still made, as if they meant to come back. But they never did. Portlock was abandoned, not because the fish ran out, not because the money dried up, because no one wanted to be the next one the woods swallowed whole. Even after all them years, Portlock ain't silent. The town might be abandoned, its cannery rusting away, its buildings sagging under the weight of time, but something out there, it ain't gone. Back in the 1970s, a group of hunters come passing through, figuring they'd set up camp near the old town for the night. They was seasoned men, used to the kind of cold that seeps into your bones and the dark that makes most folks uneasy. But they weren't ready for what the night had to say. Just past midnight, the forest began to scream. Not an owl, not no wolf. This was something unnatural, a sound that curled the blood in their veins, a wail that stretched out too long, too deep, vibrating in their chests like it was trying to shake them apart from the inside. They didn't waste time. They'd left their fire burning, left their gear right where it sat, and they never came back. Then, in the 1990s, a bush pilot flew low over the bay, making a routine pass when something caught his eye. There, on the shore, stood a figure, tall, broad, and still as a statue. A man, he thought at first, but there was something off. Something too big about the shoulders, something wrong in the way it stood. He circled back. It was gone. Not just disappeared, but erased. The sand where it had stood was smooth, untouched. No footprints, no sign it had ever been there. Like the land itself refused to hold its shape. And in 2018, a fisherman made landfall near the ruins, taking a break from the sea. As he walked along the shore, he came across footprints. Huge footprints. He said each one was twice the size of his own boot, sunk deep into the damp earth like whatever left them was heavy. Unnaturally heavy. He followed them a ways, but the more he walked, the more he felt something watching him. A pressure in the air, like the whole forest was holding its breath. And then the whispers started. Nothing loud. Just a soft murmur on the wind. The kind that makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Couldn't tell what it was saying, but he knew what it meant. Get out. Folks who visit Portlock today talk about that same unnatural silence. That same watchful presence. That same cold dread that don't come from the wind, but from something deeper. And that leaves us wondering, what if Nantinak was just one piece of the puzzle? What if the people of Portlock weren't just running from a beast, but from something much, much worse? To this day, Portlock sits empty, its bones rotten beneath the weight of time, its silence stretching out like a warning whispered on the wind. Ain't no families setting roots there, no loggers taking their axes to the timber, no fishermen mending their nets along the shore. It's just hollow cabins, sagging docks, and the ghosts of all them that never made it out. Some say it was a rogue bear, some monstrous beast that took a liking to human flesh, tearing folks apart till there weren't none left to feed on. Others whisper about a killer hiding in them woods, a madman lurking in the shadows, picking off the unsuspecting, till the town was naught but fear and empty streets. But then there's the ones that don't talk about bears or killers. They talk about Nantinak. They say he's still out there, stalking them trees, watching the land that once belonged to him alone. They say he's waiting, listening for the sound of men's voices to return, for the smoke of cook fires to rise again, and when they do, he'll come back. And then there's another kind of fear. The kind that don't got no shape, no face, no footprints in the mud. The kind that says Portlock itself don't want no people. A cursed place, a hollow land that rejects the living, swallows them up, spits them out in pieces or worse, takes them whole, leaving nothing behind but silence. Whatever the truth may be, one thing's for certain. Ain't no one stays in Portlock. Not for long. So, what do you think happened in Portlock? Was it a creature, a spirit, or something else? Did the town fall to a flesh and blood predator, hunting people till none were left? Or was it something tied to the land, a darkness that don't take kindly to settlers? Maybe Nantinak wasn't just a beast, but a guardian of something worse. Would you visit Portlock? Would you step into that forgotten town, feel the heavy silence, listen for the footsteps that ain't yours? Or would you keep your distance, knowing some places don't want visitors? If given the chance, would you spend a night there? Share your thoughts in the comments. And if you crave more chilling tales of the unknown, don't forget to subscribe, because sometimes the scariest places ain't the ones we remember. They're the ones we were meant to forget. If you made it this far, reckon you got a taste for the eerie, so don't stop now. Port Lock ain't the only place where shadows move on their own and folks disappear without a trace. There's plenty more tales waiting for you, just beyond the firelight. Go on, take a step deeper. Check out our other spooky stories right here at Kentucky Melody, where the haints still whisper, the legends never die, and the dark's always got something watching. So go on ahead and watch another, but if the shadows in the corner seem to be lurking closer, they probably are.